Hi, everyone. Welcome into another edition of Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann and Phil Bush with you. The team has started practicing, so we figure we better get to work as well. Phil, did you have a good time at Marquette Madness?
I did. I was not the one that pulled the fire alarm, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
We will investigate that later in the show. We'll talk some Marquette Madness and some thoughts on as the team kind of gets ready for this upcoming season. But the first thing we're going to do is talk about the big news that broke last week, Phil. It's really the thing we've been anticipating for several weeks now, and that is the commitment of Henry Ellenson to Marquette for 2015-2016. I don't know about you, Phil. When I saw it come across my Twitter feed at work on Wednesday, I believe it was, I mean, I really just had to stop working for like at least a half hour to an hour and just talk about it with people, just because this is, Wojo is absolutely on fire on the recruiting trail here in his first few months on the job.
Well, and that's probably what set off the fire alarm at Madness. But yeah, absolutely. It was, my productivity went from pretty low in general at work to simply non-existent when that broke. I mean, I knew we were anticipating something like that. We thought it was a good chance, but I thought he was legitimately going to go to Kentucky for their Madness before he made any decision. I was not expecting him to make a decision this early.
Right, me neither.
And then it was one of these, like, you know, Lance Allen broke it initially, credit where credit is due, and he's from Rice Lake, so there was enough connections where he went, okay, this is legit. But you heard it from a reporter breaking it, and I had flashes of done deal all over again. So it was about 30 minutes of, okay, is Mrs. Smart going to allow this? Is this legitimately like a thing, or are we just getting teased here?
Yeah, but it obviously was official, and then, you know, the excitement truly began. I almost feel like we're completely looking past this season and already getting excited for 15-16 and that class coming in. But, I mean, you just really can't understate the importance of bringing in a top 10, top 5 recruit, depending on what recruiting rankings you look at. I mean, ESPN has him 4 in the country. Rivals has him 17. 24/7 has him 19. So, I mean, you're splitting hairs. But the bottom line is you're getting one of the absolute best players in the country. And what's significant to me is his time spent with the USA developmental team. That's telling me these guys who work with USA Basketball, who evaluate all these top prospects and bring them into camps and pick the best ones, they have liked him consistently over the last, you know, year or two. And they consider him one of the best players in this class. And, you know, he's a good chance to be Marquette's first McDonald's All-American since the early 80s, when the game was really just kind of a new thing. And just to have a commit like this on board could really be a springboard into future success and more guys who are ranked that high, who are that well-known, considering Marquette and trusting that Steve Wojciechowski is a guy they want to invest their futures with.
Well, I think it speaks to you know, it does speak to Wojciechowski's relationship with the players and why, as a coach and his connections to USA Basketball, the Duke kind of legend, if you will, and just him as a recruiter in general, it speaks to his effectiveness, because by all accounts, Ellenson was not really considering coming to Marquette under the what we'll term the previous administration.
That's a good way of phrasing it.
So then, you know, the last 6 months, if you think about it, Wojciechowski has created a zero relationship into a relationship where Ellenson has said, not only do I want to go to this school, this is the school that's going to, you know, help me get to the NBA. You know, I think the assets like Jabari Parker, I don't doubt that Wojciechowski uses that effectively and those sorts of things. So, I mean, it really speaks to what's possible within, you know, the Marquette sphere with the tools they have, the coaching and the connections. Now we're just going to have to see if Wojciechowski can coach and keep this going. I mean, he's put together a heck of a recruiting class in general, but if you don't produce on the court, it doesn't necessarily continue to happen that way.
Right. You know, the previous coaching staff obviously was kind of all in on Diamond Stone, and really it kind of looked like Stone was leaning towards Marquette before the coaching change happened. And, you know, Stone is a fine player and would have been nice to have as well, but this staff just had a different philosophy, and Ellenson fit into that a little bit more, and they made him their number one priority as soon as they got the job. And You know, the relationship with Stone kind of disintegrated, and, you know, that's fine. You know, he can go off and be successful wherever he's going to go. But they obviously made Ellenson their guy, and they got him. And that's, I mean, just to be able to zero in on a guy, as you said, who had really no relationship with Marquette when Wojciechowski took the job, and in a matter of, what, 6 months, go from not even considering to committed. That is extremely significant. So that is a heck of a job by Wojo and his entire class. And, you know, if you haven't seen Ellenson or any of his, you know, mixtapes on YouTube or read anything about him, he is a 6'10 power forward who he's always said he wants to play multiple positions. So he kind of wants to play the 4 and the 5 and maybe even get out and play the 3 a little bit. If you're looking for a comparison, I guess the easy one to make is Dirk Nowitzki. That he's been compared to him a little bit. Maybe, I don't know if you want to compare maybe like LaMarcus Aldridge or something like that. I mean, he's just a true stretch four, a guy who can really shoot it. He can handle the ball. And he's just going to be a matchup nightmare once he gets into the Big East. And he's going to help Marquette win a lot of games. So, I mean, the effort that Wojo put into bringing this guy in is impressive. And now, like, I guess looking at what the roster is projected to be like next year, Phil, like, I guess, how do you see Ellenson fitting in the lineup? Like, you know, where do you think he will play most often, if that matters?
Well, I based on interviews he's given and the coaching staff, you know, I think really, and the players that'll be on the roster next year, I think he's going to be playing a 3 or a 4. I mean, I think he's going to play the 4 probably, but he's going to get some time at the 3, because if you think about it, Luke Fisher in theory has got the 5 lockdown, with backup minutes going to Matt Helt, who's a true 5. Then at the 4, you would have Steve Taylor potentially. You might have, you know, when we're going small, you might have somebody like Deontay Burton playing a face-up kind of 4. You'd have Ellenson playing the 4 some, but I do think with his handle that he'll go down to the 3 even some when we want to go real big.
That would be an intriguing thing to see. I don't think we would see it that often. Like, maybe to the like as little as we saw Otule and Gardner together, but to see a lineup that has Ellenson, Helt, and Fisher all on the floor at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Fisher. You know, I mean, Fisher would play the 4 in that scenario, and Helt would play the 5. But again, you're projecting based on how these players are going to do, and they haven't even stepped on campus. Yeah. But in that orientation, at least based on their tapes and stuff, the problem with Devontae and Otule was, all right, who, you know, one was good on the offensive end, the other was good on the defensive end, and it never really worked out with those two in combination. But at least with Helt, Fisher, and Ellenson, it at least looks like they can play both ends of the court.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll see how, like, college ready these kids are when they show. I mean, you would hope a guy who is projected to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft in 2016 and Ellenson would be college ready and can contribute right away. Helt, we'll see how college ready he is when he first steps on campus. Maybe a little more work to do there, but a very promising prospect. But if he is college ready and can step in right away, I see actually a lot of rotations up there between, you know, between the 4 and the 5, and just kind of rotating in Ellenson, Fisher, and Helt at kind of all those spots and kind of moving them around. Taylor slipping in there at the 4 a little bit, and then Taylor maybe even dropping down to the 3. And then you got Burton, kind of he can do both of those things as well, play the 3 or the 4. So there's so many options in next year's 3, 4, 5 spots for Marquette. And I think Wojo's excited about all the possible matchups because, you know, you can match up any way you want with whatever kind of team you're facing. If you're facing a team with a lot of bigs, you can go big. If you're facing, you know, a smaller, quicker team, I mean, he can put a competitive team out there that can defend and score that way. So having basically an NBA player come in right away and just to add him to your team next year is really exciting. So I try not to look past this year too much, but it's hard not to because, I mean, there's so much excitement already built for next year.
Right, exactly. Well, it kind of, for the first time in a long time, Marquette doesn't have the stigma of, yeah, they're good, but they can't recruit bigs. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about it at all, and we haven't mentioned it, but even with Gabe Levin leaving the program who had size.
More like Gabe leaving, am I right?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to give you credit for that.
No, let's not see that one.
No. But with Levin gone, you would ordinarily you'd say, "Oh great, we lost height, you know, we're not going to be we're not going to have any bigs." But actually Levin left probably because he wasn't going to get any minutes.
Maybe so.
You know, he looked at the writing on the wall. The timing of him leaving and Ellinson, signing on the dotted line, so to speak, not literally, but yeah. Verbally committing, I don't think is a coincidence.
Yeah, maybe it's not. Who knows? But, yeah, your point as far as, you know, how Levin fits in, that's kind of a nice bonus now is Wojo now has an extra scholarship to play with. So many things that he could do with that, and he could be really patient with it. Now, I would be very surprised if he uses it before the early signing period. I think that's one you definitely put in your back pocket, save it to the spring. If there's a transfer or a graduate student or maybe one more kid in this freshman class, this 2015 class that you like, you know, you could be patient with it and kind of work on that between now and then. But I think Wojo might actually like to have, you know, one extra scholarship to work with for 2016, because right now, assuming that, you know, this isn't necessarily going to happen, but if you assume that everyone is staying at Marquette for the duration of their 4 years, then Steve Taylor is the only guy
right
graduating in 2016, so you only have one scholarship to play with, hypothetically. But it looks like, you know, Ellinson could be one and done. Certainly that's a possibility, but now he has two to play with if he wants to put that extra scholarship in his back pocket and just hold on to it. And I think he will be very patient with that extra scholarship now that he has these four guys committed for 2015.
Well, I do think he rebalances the classes a little bit with this scholarship in that he gets somebody like, a one-year transfer or a graduate student or somebody that's not going to consume that scholarship for a full 4 years. You see who's on the transfer come springtime, so that when Steve Taylor does graduate, maybe you've got two scholarships. And then, you know, and again, this is a whole lot of projecting, but this is the way the coaching staff has to think. If Ellinson is good as advertised, when Steve Taylor graduates, if you use this Levin scholarship to get a one-year player as well, and say Ellinson is as good as advertised and he leaves for the NBA after a year or something like that, now all of a sudden you've got three scholarships opening up and your classes are rebalanced and you're not dealing with a lot of freshmen all at once and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's hard to project those things. You never know who's going to transfer.
Right.
If anyone's going to go, anyone else leaves early for the NBA or just a pro career, you know, whatever
right.
they're going to do. You know, we've had that happen the last couple of years. It's hard to project, but, you know, you never stop recruiting, though. So I'm sure Wojciechowski, now that they've got Ellinson on board, he and his staff, they're going to, you know, just kind of get together. So, all right, guys, what are we going to do now? Who, you know, I'm sure they've been in contact with several other guys anyway in case Ellinson did not commit to Marquette. But, they can reestablish those relationships, talk to those guys and see if they're still interested in coming to Marquette and see if there's, you know, if Ellinson's commitment has any kind of domino effect where there are other five-star guys out there that might actually be interested in playing with Ellinson now. That's a possibility. So, again, I expect them to be very patient with it. I wouldn't expect any other commits anyone else to sign in the early signing period with Marquette. I think it's just going to be wait until the spring, see who's out there as far as transfers, graduate students, and then 2015 prospects and go from there. But it's a nice luxury to have because, again, assuming everyone comes back next year that's supposed to, it's looking like a very, very good roster for Marquette in 15-16.
Well, and let me ask you this. I mean, how do you think recruiting is going to go at Marquette in this new coaching staff? I mean, in the previous two coaching staffs, there was always, like you said, you never stop recruiting, but there was always a bit of a, there was the quote-unquote, the Madison folks like to call it buzz cutting and creening players and, you know, and getting rid of the supposed players that just weren't working out. Do you think that's going to happen with this coaching staff, or do you think they recruit differently?
I think it could possibly happen. I think a lot of coaches, if there's a guy you don't see fitting in with your team, because I think that's going to be a big part of what this season, excuse me, is all about, is getting a season-long look at the guys who are there now, and just making sure and seeing, look, is this a guy I want as a part of my future? Yeah, and there could be possibilities where they part ways, shall we say, and maybe some guys transfer, but I think they could possibly, you know, take some guys and say, all right, we're going to go a different direction. But I will say this about the way they're recruiting. They are killing it in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They are absolutely owning the state right now with getting Ellenson and Niskoviak and Helt all committed. You know, the only big guy that they really aren't in contact with is Diamond Stone, and that was just a price they were willing to pay to go get Ellenson. And I say that's a good trade.
Right.
Stone's wasn't a guarantee to come to Marquette anyway.
Right.
So I think, number one, I think what to expect recruiting-wise, to answer your question, number one, expect them to continue to aggressively go after the best players in the state. And will they? Yeah, will there be turnover every year? I think you see that in every program. It's fun to like point out guys like Crean and Buzz, say they're always kicking guys out of the program or whatever, what have you. But I think every coach in America does that. Honestly, it's just some don't get advertised as much, and it's not like a harsh thing of kicking a kid out on the street. It's more of a thing of like, I'm sorry, we just don't see you as a part of this program, and I think you can probably be better served taking, you know, your talents somewhere else where you can be better utilized. And,
right.
You know, could that happen with the staff? Of course it could. And it's not necessarily a terrible thing to do, because sometimes those things, you know, they can work out better for some kids to go to a place where they can actually play. Like, you know, Jamel Jones going down to Florida Gulf Coast. Where he's actually getting to play now. So
right. Well, and the other thing to mention, you mentioned the Wisconsin recruiting and how well, you know, how much recruiting Marquette is doing in Wisconsin. I think the thing that the fans in general need to keep in mind, we're not recruiting in Wisconsin solely because it's easy or it's the home ground. The talent is in Wisconsin right now. This is probably the most talent that's ever come out of Wisconsin from a basketball standpoint in the last 20, 30 years. So I think Wojciechowski absolutely has the national coverage that he can go anywhere and recruit anyone. It
right.
just so happens that conveniently the talent in-state is as good or better than anything else, you know, in the nation right now.
Yeah, yeah. He went down to Florida and got Hanif Cheatham. But when you've got guys that you really like that fit your system perfectly right there in Wisconsin, you know, save the flyer miles and – you know, just stay right there in state and get those guys that are in your backyard and continue to build those relationships with those programs that continue to crank out guys like that. I mean, Marquette in the past has had a good history with, say, was it Madison Memorial, where, you know, Wesley Matthews came from, and that's where Blue came from.
Vander
right?
Blue came from there, yeah, and so did Jerome Maimon.
Yeah, so, I mean, they got commitments from all those guys. So, I mean, that you build those relationships and get to know those coaches and AAU coaches. And so he's already off to a great start right there in the state. So when there is the next, you know, 4- or 5-star guy that the staff really likes, they should have great credibility with those coaches that they can keep those top guys kind of flowing into Marquette. And if he has to go out to Florida or California or Texas or wherever he needs to go to get somebody else, I think they'll happily do that. But I think getting a guy like Ellenson, who has the respect of several of those guys who play AU and who play on the USA national team, say, oh, wow, a guy like Henry Ellenson's going to Marquette and he says he really likes it there. Well, you know, maybe I should take another look at it when these guys give me a call. So, I think they're off to a great start in recruiting, and I could not be happier with a coaching staff that has yet to actually coach a game.
Yeah, that is the amazing part, is we are – and I use the fan base in this Wii reference, it seems between Twitter and message boards and everything else, it seems like we're ready to anoint Wojciechowski a saint, and he has yet to coach a game in a legitimate fashion. He could turn out to be just a completely amazing recruiter and not even know which direction the basketball is supposed to go, for all we know. You know.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the case. I think hopefully he's learned a little something about X's and O's in the last 15 years at Duke. So, but that is a valid point. He has not won a game yet, and now we have to see how he actually is when he doesn't have Coach Gay next to him on the bench. And there's no reason to think that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's been one of the most respected assistant coaches in college basketball for the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So I think I am excited to see what he does with this current group, which – to be fair, has not drawn a lot of national praise yet, nor not that they should have. I mean, they're big underdogs this year. But I'm curious to see what he does with this group to kind of get his feet wet before this group that we'll probably be using the words Final Four next year when this team comes in. I mean, we're going to be talking about winning a Big East championship and going deep in the tournament. That's what we're going to be talking about next year. So, right. I mean, it's going to be a talented team, and it's good to kind of get his feet wet with this team, and I'm curious to see what he does with it.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, I had the same thought. All right, next year and the year after, you know, if Ellison stays 2 years, and again, if he turns out to be what we think he is, you know, the next 2 years, it's like, holy crow, this is our opportunity. This is our window to really do something special. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, that's based on the assumption that the talent we have on this team now is as good as we think it is. Mm-hmm. Like, this team we've talked about in the past with what we got for this season is probably not going to do well, not because they're not talented, but because they're just inexperienced and they don't have the right pieces yet. But that is an assumption, because a lot of the players that Marquette is going to be counting on for this current season are unproven themselves, or at least haven't delivered the talent that we think they have on a regular basis. And if they don't demonstrate some of that ability this year, is it really, you know, can we really make the assumption that the new recruits coming in, we're going to be another year younger, are going to have that kind of impact for next season and the season after?
Yeah, I mean, this current group definitely has to do its part, and I think that's what's going to be important about this year, is this current group growing and kind of gelling together and getting, you know, kind of shaking off the disappointment of last season and being ready to, you know, being a respectable enough team that when these freshmen come in next year, that they can contribute and, you know, put together a team that can legitimately talking about winning the Big East and maybe going very deep in the tournament. That kind of transitions into our next segment of the show is, you know, the current team. Without, as much as we are excited for the 15-16 season to start, we have a 14-15 season to get going. And John Rothstein, if you follow him on Twitter, he's a good follow, loves his college basketball. He has his cliches that he throws out there, but I think he's generally a very good follow if you like college basketball. He's been going around the country, stopping at practices and firing off, you know, 10, 15 tweets in each stop and letting people know what he thinks of each team. He was at Marquette this past week. Actually, he was there the day before Ellison committed, I believe. And so I thought it might be fun, because he had some really good talking points, actually, as he was kind of going through the team. Nothing that would be all that shocking or surprising to, you know, fans like us who know the Marquette team and kind of have a general idea of what to expect this year. But I thought he had some really good, you know, talking points. So I thought I'd just kind of scroll through his timeline and go through some of the things that he brought up as he was observing Marquette's practice under Wojo. Some of the first thoughts he had is kind of his first points was about Luke Fisher. He says he's eventually going to be one of the best big men in the Big East, 6'11", skilled kid. I would hope so, and I think that's one thing we're kind of counting on this year,
right,
Phil, is that, you know, as I said in the last podcast, I'm kind of hoping Marquette could just, out of those, you know, six games or so that aren't gimmies, that Marquette could maybe steal two of those, and then if so, then when Fisher becomes eligible in late December, then Marquette could maybe make some noise in the Big East and at least be in the discussion for a tournament bid. You know, his development and his contributions this year are certainly going to be really important if Marquette's going to be in the hunt for the tournament.
Yeah, well, Luke Fisher is the linchpin, because if we don't have Luke Fisher performing at even a moderately good level, we don't have an alternative other than to play, you know, we're playing the midgets lineup from when we had the three amigos again, where we have one player over 6'7", you know, if Luke Fisher isn't as talented as we think he is, we've got to depend on Steve Taylor Jr., which, believe me, I was one of the first adopters of the free Steve Taylor hashtag, but we're assuming that Steve Taylor can play at a consistent level like he did, like we saw glimpses of his freshman year. To be honest, last year he didn't perform very well at all. Now, he was injured part of the time. He was getting yanked around by the coaching staff. So I happen to think the year two was an aberration, and freshman year Steve Taylor is more likely what we're going to get. But if Luke Fisher isn't the real deal this year, and Steve Taylor isn't what we think he is, then the team could be in some significant trouble.
Yeah, the team's really going to get dominated down low. That's been that's going to be a concern, and we kind of knew that coming in. And basically Rothstein's point is, Fisher's going to take some time,
right?
And hopefully he's ready to go for next year. Kind of the point we were just making about this current group being ready when Ellenson and company show up on campus. And if Fisher is ready to go and be one of the best big men in the Big East next year, then I think expectations can be pretty reasonably high next year.
Right. And that's why I keep saying it, whether it's right or wrong, it's kind of my opinion. This year is really, for lack of a better phrase, practice for the next couple of years. So it's just about getting the current talent we have on the roster minutes, getting them experience, getting them prepared for the year or two after when they're really in a good position. Obviously, you don't throw games. You want to win now, but there has to be some acceptance of reality that the team is probably a year away from being anywhere successful. So you just have to, live through the growing pains, get used to the coaching staff, and get used to, get players like Luke Fisher, let him play through mistakes and learn so that he can be really effective the year after.
Practice. Talking about practice.
Yeah.
Another thought from Rothstein, and this is something that people are wondering about for sure, is Marquette's starting five, and he does this at basically all of his stops on his countrywide tour of college basketball. He throws out just an early prediction on Marquette's starting five. He says, in his opinion, Derek Wilson, Matt Carlino, Juwan Johnson, Deontay Burton, Steve Taylor. Any arguments?
No, I don't have any initial arguments, because I will actually, and this, we won't get fully to the madness discussion, but I will say the fan base, whether they like it or not, and I can kind of hear the collective groaning, I think they should be prepared for Derek Wilson getting 20 minutes a game at least.
Oh, yeah. There's only nine guys eligible to play the first semester, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so somebody's got to play.
Right.
And he's got as much experience as everyone.
Right.
As
well, anyone. I think the fan base is expecting, Dwayne Wilson and John Dawson will, they'll step in and they'll steal minutes from Derek Wilson. Based on March Madness or Marquette Madness, I don't see it yet. Maybe later in the season. Not that I think Derek Wilson is a great point guard. I mean, we know what he is.
Right.
I don't know that he's going to drastically improve from what he was last year, but I just don't know that the other players are going to be consistent enough or ready enough early in the season. I it may be different at the end of the season, but Dwayne Wilson, I think he's a redshirt freshman with no game experience. He's not going to take over right away. I'm kind of surprised by Juwan Johnson, but maybe that'll be
he would be the one, that might slide out of that starting lineup when Fisher comes in. And I think
he'd
go a little big when Burton goes down to the three, Taylor goes to the four, Fisher goes into the five. But hopefully Juwan Johnson's ready to go. And I saw Paint Touches post an article with Johnson this past week saying, he was quoted as saying last year was his worst experience ever in basketball.
Right.
And he was just so frustrated. And I think that gets in your head. I think when you're playing for a coach that you like and you're comfortable with, hopefully that loosens up his game, and maybe he will be, worthy of a starting spot. And like I said, somebody has to start, so it might as well be a Juwan Johnson. I think that starting five probably seems logical, and we'll see how many minutes Dwayne Wilson and John Dawson are able to get in. They should be able to get a lot, because like I said, somebody's going to sub in for these guys, because they're not all playing 40 minutes a game, that's for sure.
Right.
And he threw in a nugget. He thinks Carlino's going to score a lot this year. Hopefully he can score a little, but I don't know if he's going to score as much as Rothstein thinks he will, because if he's because you look at his shooting percentage, he's going to have to take a lot of shots,
right,
to lead the Big East in scoring or be one of the top three or four guys in scoring. I think he'll be a very nice contributor, but I don't think he's going to be Marquette's leading scorer.
Well, are you surprised by, in Rothstein's lineup, and I think in general this is the consensus, are you surprised that Carlino is playing off the ball, potentially?
Not really. I mean, he's a volume shooter. I mean,
you're not going to have Derek Wilson playing off the ball. So if Derek Wilson is getting a lot of minutes, it's not going to be him at the two, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how it works when, you know, because obviously Derek Wilson's going to be the guy bringing the ball up when he's in the game. And we'll see how good Carlino is playing off the ball. But he's kind of been a bit of a combo. But he's a guy who also likes to have the ball in his hand. But honestly, so does Dwayne Wilson, though.
Right.
I mean, you know, even though Dwayne Wilson looks like he's kind of more set to be a combo guard this year, he is a guy who is very comfortable with the ball in his hands, and he likes to be a one. And we'll see if he's able to, you know, kind of fill that role, and we'll see. You know, we kind of projected this time a year ago, we were projecting that Dwayne Wilson would eventually supplant Derek Wilson in the starting lineup, and then, you know, Dwayne got hurt, and we kind of forgot all about that. And now I'm not sure how many people feel that that's going to happen this year. That he, you know, we'll see how ready Dwayne is. I hope he's ready to take a big step forward in his first first year on the court, and earn a lot of minutes. But Derek Wilson looks, you know, even though scoring deficiencies aside, I think his defense will still earn him plenty of minutes.
Right. Well, what's going to be interesting is I think John Dawson kind of sort of looks like the odd man out given whatever else is at guard. But I think it was a Paint Touches article talking about how Dwayne Wilson is going to play off the ball a fair amount this year, which kind of surprised me. I always thought he was kind of a pure point guard, but, you know, maybe they're just looking for, you know, it looks like they're setting up for a lot of screens. It looks like they want to do a lot of pick and pop and a lot of pick and rolls this season. Wojciechowski was talking about how screens are really give you the most offense possible. So, you know, maybe that's why Dwayne Wilson makes sense in that role, is that he could, you know, he could be the off-ball screener and then roll or pick and pop. I don't know. Especially as small as we are, maybe that's why they're looking for them at the off-guard spot.
Yeah, somebody has to play it.
Right.
So, and they are as capable as any, so we'll see if they are able to fill those roles. Speaking of filling roles, a couple more thoughts from Rothstein before we move on from this. He said, I'm going to kind of blend these two things together because they're kind of in the same role. He said, this is the first Marquette team I can remember that doesn't have a clear-cut alpha dog, although I think most people corrected him. Last year's team really didn't have an alpha dog. But expanding from that thought, Marquette needs multiple players to have breakout seasons to be a surprise team in the Big East. Likeliest candidates, Johnson, Burton, Taylor. And that's kind of been the thing we've been talking about a lot, Phil, is, you know, this team, somebody has to really take a big step forward from their production a year ago for this team to be competitive and to win some big games. And those guys he listed, I think Burton is the guy most people are circling, because I think multiple sites have posted when they're picks for breakout players for this year, they've picked Deontay Burton as a guy who could do that. And, you know, we saw him in glimpses last year, and his defense did cost him some playing time. But when he was out there and allowed to play extended minutes, usually he actually played pretty well and showed a little bit of a jumper, and of course the explosiveness to the basket is something that we like to see. So I think a lot of people are kind of picking Burton as that guy, but it would be nice if there are one or two others who can take a big step forward production-wise this year, and I think that would be a nice bonus for Wojo this year.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. You know, unfortunately, we haven't touched on it with Deontay Burton's mother passed away, unfortunately, this past week, you know, after a bout with cancer, I believe. That'll be interesting to see what that does mentally to him for the season. I would have pegged Burton, you know, as the sure breakout star given everything he did last year. But, you know, honestly, there could be a lot on his mind, and hopefully he puts it behind him and is able to perform. But that's going to be something to keep an eye on. You know, what's his focus? What's it look like? How does he practice? And then how does he do with extended minutes? I mean, one of the things you can't necessarily extrapolate out, in 10 minutes, this is how well he did. Now he's going to probably need to be doing 25, 30 minutes. Is he as efficient as he, you know, as he was last year? That's going to be a good question. I don't know. I don't have a good feel for whether or not he's going to be able to fill up the minutes. You know, does he truly become the go-to player, or is he more complimentary?
Yeah, I hope he's not as complimentary as, because, you know, as Rothstein said, somebody does need to take over and be a go-to guy.
Right.
And be a guy you can say, all right, well, it's late in the game, we got to get a ball to this guy. It would be nice if Burton or somebody else could become that person who is ready to take the big shot and could play 35 minutes if need be and be very, very effective. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't wear down, but I guess we're going to find out because when you've only got 9 guys eligible from this first semester, some guys are going to be out there for a long, long time, and it's going to be the guys who earn it and the guys who are the most productive and guys who give Wojo what he wants to see. Previous administration, it was definitely he wanted to see defense. It was all defense, and if you can play defense, you're going to be out there and you're going to play. Will Wojo want to see, is it all about defense, or is he going to want to see something else? Is he going to want to see, I'm sure he wants to see good defense, of course, but I'm sure he wants to see, I don't know what he's preaching in practice. Is it ball movement? Is it shooting the ball? Is it running an offense? I guess we'll find out, but I guess when guys start doing things wrong, start coming out of the game, we're going to start figuring out, oh, that's what Wojo wants to see. That's what Wojo isn't happy with. So we're going to see who's able to respond to the coaching staff and give them what they want.
Well, but along Rothstein's point, I mean, maybe the other way to look at this is if, you know, you talked about the go-to player, who is most likely on the roster to become that go-to player that you think, it, you know, in the final minute, I want the ball in their hands, or you know, or we need to get a big stop, or we need, you know, we need someone to take over because the rest of the team doesn't have it. Who do you think, you know, if you were laying odds on, who do you think it is?
Oh, I'd say Burton for sure.
You know,
I think so. I would love to say Dwayne Wilson, but I'm just not sure yet on Dwayne.
Well, I think if it's going to be anyone, it's either going to be Deontay Burton or it's going to be Steve Taylor Jr.
Yeah.
I mean,
nice.
It'd be nice, but I think he's got enough talent there that he could be. But it's going to be a question of, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the stats, and once again, I'm wildly unprepared for this. But I don't think, other than the Syracuse game, Steve Taylor got anything more than 15 minutes a game previously. Is he going to be able to go 20, 25, 30 minutes? I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully he's finally healthy. And
right.
You know, that was a concern last year, and he says he was healthier than maybe was let on. But, you know, there was no doubt that his knee was bothering him at the beginning of last season. Hopefully he is absolutely 100% ready to go, and we're going to find out what he can bring to the table because he's an upperclassman now. So I do expect a little more out of Steve Taylor Jr. this year, and I think he's ready for it. I think he's going to be I think he'll be a good player. And, you know, Wojo had some good things to say about him if you want to read some more of his comments. Several articles out there, Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle and whatnot. A lot of guys out there made some good coverage. It was good. Some good thoughts there from Rothstein as well, going and visiting Marquette's practice this week. I think we're going to conclude with some thoughts. Not that we can get all that much out of Marquette Madness because it is just kind of an exhibition, just a little fun for the fans. Phil, you were out there. Anything you took away other than maybe a headache from the fire alarm?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. It was an interesting event. It was probably the least quote unquote production value of anyone I've been to. I mean, it was really not glitzy. It was pretty raw, and we're just going to go from one event to another. That didn't help with the fire alarm going off and the
And I kind of threw a wet blanket over the whole thing. You know, it kind of doused some of the energy. I was kind of watching online. By the way, MUTV did a nice job. It's nice for people who are out of state or who just, you know, can't get out there to actually watch it online to kind of see what's going on. So I was actually able to watch and kind of keep up with it this year. I actually enjoyed the coverage online. You know, some of the things they did. MUTV is so much better now than when I was there back in the Stone Ages. But I did enjoy the coverage, and they did a good job stalling while they were trying to fix that net and all that stuff. But that said, I did notice that there was nothing that, you know, like as far as, you know, fireworks and light shows and anything that was just really, really spectacular and over the top. It was, for the most part, pretty understated this year. It was more about just kind of the buzz and excitement of introducing the new coaches, Wojo and Carolyn Keeger, who's coaching the women now. As far as a scrimmage, you know, I did kind of keep an eye on the scrimmage while I was watching the ALCS that night. And, you know, really tough to get anything from the scrimmage. I did take away that I wish Wally Ellenson was eligible this year.
Yeah.
I think he could help a little bit. I loved his hustle that he showed.
You and I were texting back and forth on that.
Yeah, I really wasn't sure how much he would play, really, you know, at Marquette in his career. But, you know, he did show me a little bit of something. I mean, he's definitely got some amazing athleticism.
Well, I would,
and we knew that anyway with the high jump. But
right.
Just to see it, I just wasn't sure how it translated to the court.
Well, to be fair, yeah. I, you know, and again, this is a borderline waste of a practice, if you will, you know, being completely fair. I mean, nobody's really trying, and it's just, you know, okay or whatever. But Wally Ellingson was the one that impressed me most out of the whole. I mean, between his ability in the dunk contest, you know, I was watching him during warmups. He can shoot. He had the most energy and hustle on the court during the scrimmage. You know, I think he's going to contribute next year. Be that as it may, the other kind of general takeaways, I think Burton's got flashes again. I think if he tries and he cares, I think he really, really contributes. But other than that, I don't know how much stock you put into it, but in general,
yeah,
I was underwhelmed.
I don't know what to take. I didn't necessarily expect to see this team coming out and shooting the ball like a bunch of Steve Novaks out there and say, oh, wow, the whole team's better at three-point shooting now. That's going to be remaining to be seen when they first take the floor in those exhibition games, then on to the Ohio State game. Hopefully the shooting has improved, but, you know, no one really lit it up but shooting-wise. But, again, just an exhibition. They were just kind of out there putting on a show for the fans. There wasn't really much to take away as far as X's and O's and breakdowns and analysis of players, but it's for me, it was just fun to see that Marquette basketball is back on the court. Players are excited. Gabe Levin wish you could have been there to join it, but obviously that just wasn't in the cards. And the team will move forward, and hopefully they'll be competitive, and we'll see how relevant they are when we get into Big East play.
Well, the one thing I did, and I don't know how many people, because there weren't a ton left because they ended up canceling the coaches versus players 3-point contest.
That was a bummer.
Though the dunk contest turned out to be the best dunk contest I've ever seen at Marquette, the 3-point contest was what I was looking forward to the most, mostly because I think they may have canceled it because the players didn't want to get slaughtered. but be that as it may, Wojciechowski at the end of the, you know, kind of when it was like a, you know, it was kind of a want ending when the scrimmage was over, but he made some kind of, and you can read into it what you want, but it was kind of an offhanded, well, as you can see, we've got a lot of work to do. So, you know, it was kind of one of those things where you went, wow, he was not happy with that, was he?
Yeah, you know, maybe he wasn't. Yeah, I didn't hear that on the broadcast, but yeah. You know, like there was nothing. It was just a scrimmage, but there was nothing amazing and wow about it. And you know, definitely the outside shots weren't necessarily falling. But we knew that coming in. We knew this team has work to do.
Right.
And he wasn't going to get it all fixed by October. And hopefully he can. Like I don't know if anything's going to get fixed this year. Everything anyway. But hopefully this team makes enough progress by January that they can be a competitive team in the Big East. And that's really all I am asking out of this team, is to be a competitive team in the Big East, and
right,
not get blown away and be fighting with DePaul for 10th. You know, I hopefully they will be at least middle of the pack in the Big East, and if you can do that, depending on what you do in non-conference play, maybe you can be in the discussion for some postseason play, whether that's NCAA or in our NIT. We'll see. Of course, Wojo said this week during media day, we want to make the NCAA tournament, and really nothing. No expectations beyond that. And that's what he's supposed to say, of course. He's not
right.
He's not supposed to go out there and say, well, we're looking forward to stinking really bad this year, and then we'll be really good next year, trust me. No, he's setting expectations. He's won a lot at Duke. Heck, he has been to the tournament every year. He was at Duke as a coach. I think, actually, his freshman year was the last time as a player that Duke did not make the tournament.
Yeah, and that's correct.
So he's made the tournament. I mean, he's used to playing in March, and that's what he wants to do, and there's no reason to not say something like that. So that's the bar, and hopefully they can reach it.
Yeah. Well, whether it's a bold prediction or a no kidding prediction, I think as a team, if this team can't shoot over, let's say, 32-33% as a team from the three-point line, they will not have a winning season. I think that's really going to be the key to whether this team succeeds and has a shot. I think the NIT is more likely, but that's going to be the key to determine if this team will be successful or not.
Yeah, when you have no post presence, you got to be able to shoot the three to stay in games. Because, you know, last year, the previous 4 years, Marquette has always been able to say, all right, we're not scoring. Let's just go inside to Devontae Gardner and just get
right.
a few easy buckets and try to get to the free throw line a little bit. And hopefully this team can, you know, when Fisher gets back, they can go inside a little more. They can you know, attack the basket, get to the free throw line a little bit, get some easy buckets. But we're going to see how they're going to be able to do that. I definitely did not get a good grasp of how exactly they're going to score points this year and who's going to be the top guy from Marquette Madness. Not that I was expecting to, but I am excited to see how this team develops over the next few months as we kind of really anticipate what's going to be hopefully a big, big year in 15-16. But this is kind of the appetizer, that the preamble to what hopefully could be a big breakout season next year. But the work has to be kind of put in now to improve the current crop of players and make sure these are the guys Wojo wants to go forward with. He seems confident. He said he likes his team. He's comfortable with his team. They just have work to do.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. And again, from a team perspective, you know, I know I sound pessimistic, but I think we just have to be prepared for an up and down season. That's probably not going to be as great as we all want it to be, but you know, as long as they're producing, you know, they're getting better and they're improving. If by the end of the season, if they've got a losing record, but they're winning games at the end of the season that they weren't winning at the beginning of the season, let's say that's good enough.
Yeah. As Anonymous Eagle tweeted at me on the day of Ellenson's commitment, when I was talking about expectations for this year, he said Wojo has definitely bought a lot of goodwill for about 12 months.
Right.
And I think that's pretty accurate. You know, I think most sensible fans would say, look, even if this team doesn't have a lot of wins this year, we're going to be patient and we're looking forward to all the future wins that are going to come in the next few years, hopefully. So,
right. Well, let's be fair, though. I mean, Twitter is Twitter, and you know, the first time we lose two games in a row, the natives will be restless simply because that's what Twitter is.
And just hopefully they keep their pitchforks in the shed and can just grumble a little bit and just
right,
not go crazy. But yes, if you know, if the team goes on a stretch where they lose three in a row, they lose four out of five, yeah, there'll be some grumbling and some complaining and some questioning, but hopefully it can be respectful and sensible and fair towards right. the coaching staff and the current players. I have no doubt that they are going to put together their best effort. We're just going to see how good their best effort is.
Right. I mean, let's be fair. If we lose to New Jersey Institute of Technology, there will be grumblings.
The pitchforks will come out.
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that. But we appreciate you tuning in for another edition of Scrambled Eggs, everyone. As always, I'm Joe McCann. He's Phil Bush. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. You can also follow Crack Sidewalks. That's the team page, if you will. And, of course, the blog is posted on Crack Sidewalks. You can follow us like us on Facebook. That's where we post the podcasts as well. And, of course, we're on iTunes. You can download us there and take us wherever you go. Any final thoughts, Phil?
You know, you ask me this every time, and I'm never prepared, so I'm going to say no.
Okay, no final thoughts. But we'll come back a little bit later in October. That's when we're going to go through the schedule and make some bold predictions for this year. That'll be our next podcast coming up in a few weeks. The season is almost here. Until then, seashells and balloons, everyone.